Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So I'd like to take my title from verse 18, A Broken Heart. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this morning as we look together into the powerful and precious word of God. Use it, Holy Spirit, to meet needs and speak to our spiritual walk. And Lord, may your will be done. Lord, maybe there's someone in our service, they're not even sure they're born again. I pray they'll realize they must be born again. They must trust Christ as Savior if they ever hope to see heaven. Lord, those of us that are believers, may we be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and allow you to do a work in our lives to draw us closer to you. May you be glorified in this time. Guide us now. Meet with us. We love you and pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. A broken heart. You say, that doesn't sound very good, and yet that's exactly what God is after in each of our lives, is a broken heart. Not broken in the sense that it's not usable, but broken in the sense that it's usable by God. Because let's face it, the Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked and they're deceitful. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Our hearts are a problem. Our hearts are inclined towards sin. And God wants them to be broken for Him. And in this passage, I believe He shows us the proper response of a believer whose heart is truly broken for God. And I think we see, first of all, in verse 17, that a broken heart trusts the Lord. Notice it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Let's face it, we tend to be self-sufficient. We tend to be self-centered. We tend to be self-righteous. And all of those things are contrary to God's will. And to God, who is the one who can take care of us, God, who is the one who will watch over us. But He wants us to cry unto Him. He wants us to trust Him for all things, not trust ourselves. Because He's the one that has the power to work miracles. He's the one that has the power to watch over us and guide us and give us wisdom and so forth. You know, God even promises in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God challenges us to cry unto Him, to come to Him, and bring our petitions to Him. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, and He careth for you in 1 Peter 5:7. A broken heart is a heart that trusts the Lord. And many times I believe the Lord has to bring us to that place where we will cry to Him again, where we need Him, where we can't solve it on our own, where we need His help, we need His guidance, we need His strength. And a broken heart comes to God and cries in the midst, as it says there, delivereth them out of all their troubles. God is always listening. That's the good news. Now look at Psalm 40, verse 1, if you would. David here writing about his own personal walk with the Lord. Psalm 40 and verse 1, just over a couple of chapters. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. Notice it says, and heard my cry. So there's that word cry again. He said, He heard my cry. I waited for the Lord. God will hear our cry. But we have to be at that point where we're crying unto Him. And that's what He wants. He wants our hearts to be broken so that we're trusting only Him and not ourselves. The righteous cry, it says, and the Lord heareth. And David had experienced that in his own life in the midst of the many, many trials that he faced. Notice also while we're in Psalms, look at chapter 34 and verse 7. The Bible says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." That's the God that we serve. The God that encamps around about those that fear Him and delivers them. And so we see, first of all, this morning in this passage, that the broken heart cries unto the Lord. The broken heart trusts the Lord and leans on the Lord for strength. The Bible says we're not to trust man, we're not to trust ourselves, we're to trust God. And a truly broken heart is leaning 100% on God and crying unto Him with their troubles. It's okay to do that. And a lot of Christians have this attitude, "Oh, well, God's too busy to deal with my little piddly problems." That's not the case. God tells us to give Him our problems, doesn't He? Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He said, give it to Him. He'll take it. He's got big shoulders. And so a broken heart cries. A broken heart trusts the Lord. Now, secondly, we see in our passage, go back there to Psalm 34, verse 18. The Bible says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." A contrite spirit. I believe what God's telling us here is that a person that has a broken heart has the right attitude. A contrite spirit. That contrite is talking about humble. Admitting, "I don't have the answers. I don't know the way. I can't get out of this on my own. I need God." That's the attitude He wants us to have. And a broken heart has that attitude. Go to Psalm 51, if you would. Just over to the right a little bit. And again, David, in the midst of one of his own experiences, in this particular case, he had sinned against God. And God had called him out on the sin. David repented of the sin, but he still had to be punished for what he did. This was his sin with Bathsheba, and he lost a child over it. But he wrote Psalm 51 in response, and toward the very end of verse 17, he says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." David says, I had to change my attitude. His attitude was one of arrogance, of one of hiding his sin from God, thinking he got away with what he did, having her husband killed so that he could take her for his own. And he was just carrying on as the king and probably still praying and reading the Word. God had to send Nathan to say, "Thou art the man." Then he repented and got right with God, and then he wrote this psalm. And reminded us that a broken and a contrite heart, God won't despise. An attitude of contriteness, of humility, of brokenness. That's the broken heart. They have the right attitude. Notice Psalm 147, while we're in Psalms. Let's turn over there. Psalm 147 and verse 3. The Bible says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." He healeth the broken in heart. Well, you got to be broken first. 147 verse 3. "He healeth the broken in heart." That is the God that we serve. "He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now, this applies to salvation as well, doesn't it? You can't get saved until you humble yourself and say, "I'm a sinner." We all had to get to that point where we realized, I can't get myself to heaven. I'm a sinner. I've broken God's laws. I deserve to go to hell. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So it's not, but it's not only talking about salvation. It's also talking about saving us out of our troubles. And we've got to have not only this trust of crying unto the Lord, but we've got to have this right attitude, this contrite spirit that the Lord is talking about. You know, Jesus told the parable about the two men that went down to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I'm not like this publican." And the publican, the Bible says, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? Because he had a contrite spirit. He fell on his face and said, "God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner." He had the right attitude when he went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee didn't. Attitude is a big part of it. And these afflictions that God allows in our lives are part of keeping our attitude right. Go to Psalm 119. I'll show you a couple examples where God explains this from the life of David again. Verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Verse 68. "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Verse 75, he says, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." Do you see this attitude that David is reflecting now of a contrite spirit? The affliction was painful, Lord, but I know it was good. I know it was what I needed, and I'm thanking you for it because it's helped me to grow in my understanding of your word and of God's nature. And so David had his attitude adjusted, and we need the same. And a person with a truly broken heart not only is crying unto the Lord, trusting the Lord, but has this right attitude of a contrite spirit. Jeremiah told us in 29:13, he says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." All your heart. That means none left behind. It's all given to God. So a person with a broken heart, which is what God is after, trusts God and has the right attitude. And then let's look at verse 19. The Bible says, Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." We talked about attitude earlier. What is God saying? That a person with a broken heart is going to respond properly to trials. And this is really where the rubber hits the road for Christians. Because notice in verse 19, the first word, many. We're going to have afflictions. Not just a couple. We're going to have many. And in the context of this passage is talking about a broken heart, a contrite spirit. God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. A broken heart properly responds to those trials and understands that we're going to have trials, but also understands, as it says at the end of the verse, but the Lord delivereth him. That God's in control. And that when it's God's time, that could be 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it could be a couple of days. He'll deliver us once we've learned what we're intended to learn from that particular affliction. But never forget that broken heart or not, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We can have a right attitude in the midst of trials because we have the right response to trials. Look at 1 Peter, if you would, chapter 5. Just show you an example of what we're talking about here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What's God saying there? He wants to establish you. He wants to perfect you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to settle you after that you've suffered a while. The broken heart understands these truths and responds properly to trials. That's what Paul did. Paul had a big trial in his life. He said, this isn't God's will. God needs to take this thing away. This is hindering my ministry. This thorn in the flesh, we don't even know what it was, but he was convinced it wasn't part of God's plan. And he went to God three times and said, take it away. And God said, no. You need it. And then Paul woke up and said, oh, I need it. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His understanding completely changed, and his response to the trial went from, Lord, take it away, to, Lord, thank you. That's a big change. Same trial, but that heart attitude had been changed. His heart had been broken, and now he understood that I need to be broken so that God can use me. And God's using the thorn to keep me broken. Look at Job. Look what he went through. I would say he had a broken heart. And what did he say? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, that's a good attitude to have about trials. Imagine losing your whole living and your health and all your family in one day. And being able to say, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It was all about his response to the trials, because he had a broken heart. You see, God never makes a mistake. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. God never makes a mistake. God never does anything that's not good for us. Everything he does is what's best for us. And a person with a broken heart understands that. That there are going to be many afflictions, but God's in control and God's going to deliver me when he sees fit. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Isn't it interesting? God calls it a light affliction. Doesn't feel very light when we're in the middle of it. But in comparison to heaven, you know, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When you compare the affliction to heaven, it's light. When you compare the short time we have on earth to eternity, it's short. And that's how God sees it. But a broken heart not only is crying and trusting the Lord, not only has the right attitude of this contrite spirit in the midst of the trials, but has the right response to the trials. And that's why God allows trials to teach us, to grow us, to refine us. And that's why he wants us to respond properly. Now, he knows our limits. The Bible tells us he knows our limits. Go to 1 Corinthians 10, for example, where the Bible talks about temptation. God knows what your limits are. The problem is, we don't trust him in the midst of the trials, and so we don't respond properly when they come. If we would know in advance, God already knows what my limits are. God knows what I can handle. God knows what I can take. He's not going to push me any further than I can bear with his help. Then we won't fail. 1 Corinthians 10:13, most of you know this verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now God said that. Above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. twice in there, God uses the word able. Saying that as we're trusting Him in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our temptations, as we're leaning on Him, if we have the right spirit, if we have a broken heart, if we're trusting Him, we are able to handle the temptation with His help. He said it. He will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able. Now, if that's our attitude, if that's our understanding when the trials and temptations come, we're going to learn and grow through it. But if our attitude is, oh, this is too much for me, or this shouldn't be happening to me, or woe is me, like the Israelites, God made a mistake, or God doesn't love me anymore, or God doesn't care about me, or God's mean, we're not going to grow, we're not going to learn. God's just going to have to keep sending it again, until we learn. But a person with a truly broken heart responds properly to the trials. And so we see that a broken heart trusts God. They cry unto the Lord, which is what God wants us to do. He says, cry unto me. A broken heart has the right attitude of this contrite spirit. And sometimes God has to bring us to that attitude, doesn't He? Like He did David. And then we see that a broken heart responds properly to trials when they come. And this is really one of the keys to growing as a Christian. How do we respond when the trials come? Because, hey, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. They're coming. And if you're not in one now, you will be soon. How are you going to respond when it happens? You're going to respond with the right attitude. You're going to respond with trust in the Lord. You're going to respond with the right perspective on the trial, that this is God's will and God makes no mistakes. And like Paul, switch from complaining to rejoicing. James said that. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Do we count it joy when those afflictions come? I believe if we will, that's a big step toward getting to where God's trying to take us with the affliction. If our response is like the Israelites, look what happened to them. They kept having to be chastised because they didn't listen. They wouldn't respond properly to the trials when God allowed them in their lives. I mean, think about it. It's a beautiful picture of the Christian life. He delivered them from Egypt, gave them food from heaven, took care of them in every way. Didn't God have the power to make it so that they weren't short on water, or that they weren't short on meat, or that the army wasn't coming after them? God allowed all that stuff to happen to teach them. But they didn't learn. Instead of saying, this is kind of scary, but God's in control, God's going to take care of us because we're His children, they said, woe is us. God brought us out here to kill us. Might as well go back to Egypt. So it's all about our response to the trial. A broken heart responds properly. A broken heart has a contrite spirit. And a broken heart cries unto the Lord and trusts God in the midst of the trials. And what will be the result? I believe the result will be amazing growth in our Christian life, which is what God ultimately wants. As we read in Romans 8:29, He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Having a broken heart is a big step toward that end in our lives. Let's pray.